From The Intercept, Hassan Piker is the Democrats' new man on the trail, whether they like it or not. Richie Torres once slammed Hassan Piker, the popular political streamer, for his depravity and called him the poster child for the post-October 7th outbreak of antisemitism. While mainstream Democrats and their allies have for months weighed the problem of Piker for the party, his star has only continued to rise. In a letter to Twitch and Amazon, New York Democratic Rep. Insurgent candidates on the left are now making him their go-to surrogate, with Piker as a new kind of kingmaker, one they hope can shepherd his mass of online supporters behind them. During her first term in office, Bush authored a bill calling for an immediate de-escalation and ceasefire in Israel and occupied Palestine. In what was widely read as retribution, Bush was primaried by a Democratic opponent, Wesley Bell, who ended his own Senate campaign against Republican Josh H. Hawley for the run. Bell defeated Bush with the help of an unprecedented nearly $9 million in spending from the Super PAC for the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, or APAC. Piker recently touched down in Missouri to lend his star power to Cori Bush, who is looking to reclaim her position in the House after serving as the first black woman to represent the state's first congressional district from 2021 to 2025. "I just don't love why I keep seeing you all," Bush, who rose to prominence as an activist with the Black Lives Matter movement, quickly gained a reputation in office for bucking establishment Democrats, even outpacing other members of the squad and being outspoken in her criticism of party leadership. Now Bush is back and, like Piker, is unbowed. During the rally, she wore a t-shirt with her campaign slogan "Fight Back" in big, bold letters. "I love seeing you all," Bush told the May Day crowd. On his wildly popular Twitch stream, Piker has argued that 80% of the Democratic Party now agrees with the principles that Cori Bush was defending at a time when it was inopportune for her to do so. Piker's visit to St. Louis coincided with weeks of national media scrutiny condemning the popular streamer's views as antisemitic, culminating in Reps Mike Lawler, RNY, and Josh Gottheimer, DNJ, pushing a bipartisan bill to explicitly denounce Piker. But for the left, the criticism rings more like an endorsement, and Piker has hit the campaign trail for a number of progressive Democrats, including Abel El Sayed, who's running for the Senate in Michigan, Dr. Adam Hamoy, who's running for a New Jersey House seat, and Rep. Ilhan Omar, who's up for re-election in Minnesota. On stage with Bush, Piker described Bell as an APAC stooge and urged St. Louisans to rally around the Bush campaign. "Republicans are monsters who traffic in hatred," said Piker. "But we're no longer going to vote for do-nothing Democrats, either," he told the crowd about a St. Louis woman at the airport who was shocked to see him busying the city. "There's this attitude in places like Missouri where city slickers like myself, the bicoastal elite, don't come to places like St. Louis." "Like, she genuinely was shocked," Piker said on a stream recap. At the rally, Piker described St. Louis as part of a growing coalition of the discontented. "I've seen a lot of places like St. Louis, places that have been left behind by wealthy corporations that pollute your waters and steal your productive output, but today we say no more." In a statement to The Intercept, a spokesperson for Bell pointed to common criticisms from mainstream figures over Piker's past online comments. "If Cori Bush spent as much time meeting with her constituents as she does associating with people who condone sexual assault and blame America for September 11th, she may have fared better in her last election," said Bell campaign spokesperson Jordan Blase. Before Piker and Bush, historian Angel Flores Fontanes took the stage as an organizer with the Party for Socialism and Liberation, anchoring the day in proud St. Louis labor history. "One of the first American general strikes took place in the city in July 1877, when railroad workers across the United States objected to immiseration imposed by Gilded Age robber barons. In 1877, railroad workers across the United States shut down rail line capital from New York to Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania to Ohio, all the way out west to Missouri. In St. Louis, the strike escalated, evolving into a general action which drew river levee roustabouts, coopers, newsboys, foundry workers, and refinery laborers into a week-long action. The strike was a multiracial coalition, and the strike's executive committee briefly ran St. Louis as one of the first commune governments before it was violently suppressed. Fontanes recalled the city's legacy of socialists, which dates back to the abolitionist German 48ers and the Funstenut strike of May 1933. Louis, the Funston strike was one of the first successful strike actions of the era, with the Communist Party USA using the strike as a moment to mark the urban Midwest as a new hotbed for radical labor politics spearheaded by black working women. In the aftermath of the 2014 Black Lives Matter movement, which began in the St. As University of Missouri history professor Kiona Irvin notes in Gateway to Equality, Black Women and the Struggle for Economic Justice in St. Louis suburb of Ferguson, many hoped to see St. Louis once again become a beacon of progressivism. But Missouri poses a cadre of challenges. The first district is a gerrymandered product of a red state that used to be purple. Missouri was a bellwether for a century, but as polarization intensified in the early 2000s, Missouri Republicans successfully drew maps that neutralized the state's urban progressive centers. Most Missourians live in the Blue Islands of St. Louis, Kansas City, and Springfield, which also make up 80% of the state's annual GDP. Previously, the state elected Democratic governors, senators, and controlled a handful of congressional seats. But now the first district is one of the few remaining positions not controlled by Republicans. Decades of state and federal Republican rule have been disastrous for the greater St. Louis area, plunging the city into a pattern of capital flight and population loss. The city is still reeling from the May 2025 tornado, which ripped through the city and hit historically Black neighborhoods in North St. Louis the hardest. From the Federal Emergency Management Agency to the St. Louis Mayor's Office, many residents feel the recovery has been botched and worry that the north side will not be rebuilt. Last month, protesters confronted Mayor Kara Spencer over the sluggish cleanup effort. Warehouses have been left half destroyed and their residents sleeping in tents. "When we're going to our electeds, we're saying fully fund the north side," Bush told the crowd. "If you can't stand up to Donald Trump and his administration at the city level, the state level, or the federal level, then you're no representative for us. If you can't stand up to Donald Trump and his allies, then how are you supposed to stand up for us?" St. Louisans are calling on their elected officials to fight for more disaster relief, and also against attacks by the state legislature. At the direct request of President Donald Trump, Missouri Gov. Mike Kehoe, a former car dealership owner turned Republican politician, is attempting to further gerrymander the voting map for Kansas City. Kehoe also wants to abolish Missouri's income tax, which critics say will send the state into a budget tailspin not unlike Sam Brownback's failed tax-gutting policy, the Kansas experiment. The governor also caused an uproar by legally invading St. Louis in 2025. Taking over state control of the city's police department. In doing so, Kehoe defied a 2012 statewide vote which granted local control of the police to the St. Louis mayor. Missouri is the only state in the U.S. where the governor controls the police. Oh,